The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for 61 plus years. It's a Tampa institution a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. General Manager Sean Sullivan will not stand for you not having the best service possible, so he's helping you personally. And of course, their sales help there is fantastic anyway, but he's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. He will help you personally. He will give you cash back in a great gift card promotion this month at Bill Curry Ford for any new vehicle that you can order without a deposit. Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Ira drives a Bill Curry Ford. I drive a pre-owned Subaru from Bill Curry Ford. How about that? Of course, it's fantastic over there. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping. Just make that your first place and reach out to Sean for any help you might need. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, this is a special edition because we're on the road. And we are on the road at the NFL owners' meetings in Palm Beach. 3 days of talking to movers and shakers, Bucks officials, on the record, off the record, all kinds of people around the NFL to get as much perspective as we can on what's happening with the Bucks and all the things that affect the Bucks. So we'll be hitting on that stuff. Very excited about that. Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer. Buy it. Enjoy it. Try it. Savor it. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. They've got tap rooms in Odessa, Cape Coral, Clearwater, the beautiful flagship location, live music, outdoors, in Orlando at the Amway Center, which is open 7 days a week. BigStormBrewery.com is where you go to figure out where Big Storm is sold near you. And, of course, you can see all the fantastic varieties, the Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, Palm Bender IPA, Tropical Pressure Golden Ale, Bay Beer, which is Ira's favorite, Sunny Key Lime, my favorite. I'm a Bromosa guy too, Ira, but you know how that goes. Anyway, BigStormBrewery.com, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And Sage, before we go any further, hey, mold is no joke. Florida's Elite Restoration is your only phone call anytime you have any issue with any disaster in your home. Fire, wind damage, flood damage. Flood is just brutal on a home. And, of course, there's hidden mold. Don't get ripped off by your insurance company. Call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, and they'll give you a free assessment and help you navigate what's next. And they're so honest. Owner Josh Martin is a friend of ours, and he routinely works with the biggest and best companies in the Tampa Bay area for their clients who have needs from disasters. Property managers, plumbers, air conditioning contractors. If you own a business like that and you're servicing clients and helping them, or you find a problem at their home, find a disaster, Florida's Elite Restoration is the company you want to work with. Reach out to Josh. What are you going to do if you have mold when you get home, Ira?
You're going to call Florida's Elite Restoration. It's the first phone call before your insurance company. It's the first phone call.
Did you give the number to your wife just in case?
talk to her every day. Everything's dry, baby. Everything's
all
dry.
Right, no mold. You can find them at the website, floridaseliterestoration.com, and tell them you want to know what Florida's Elite Restoration can do for your company as you help service clients as honestly and thoroughly as you can. It's just that simple. Josh is great. He'll lay it out for you why they are the best in the Tampa Bay area. floridaseliterestoration.com. All right, Sage. So we have to start with last night and what I'm going to call your Gerald McCoy moment, Ira. Next thing I know...
Wait a minute. You're putting me and McCoy in the same sentence, Isbits.
Yes.
I might take exception to that right off the bat. You better follow that up with something salty.
Well, you deserve the Ring of Honor, but no Hall of Fame, Ira. Come on. Come on. Now, bottom line, Sage, is last night we're at the big annual, which we missed, of course, because of COVID the last couple of years, but the big annual NFL party, the rarest event in professional sports where they let guys like us in.
Owners, coaches, general managers, and media, baby.
All in the same place at what basically looks like a $300,000 wedding. And there's Ira in the mix. And next thing I know, Roger Goodell is embracing you as if you were just drafted number 4 overall.
He grabbed my cheek. Said, "How you doing, kid?" I mean, who else calls me kid, Stevie?
On top of the hug. What is going on there?
And you're not quick enough to get a picture, Isbits. You're unbelievable. You get pictures everywhere when I don't even know you're creeping up on me, and that one you missed.
Well, Ira, look, in that type of atmosphere, the pictures are not appropriate. I did get a couple, but that was not a moment that I was able to capture, nor would it have been okay.
I'm surprised the commission didn't say you were looking at Blaine Gabbert, Kaufman. How are you feeling now? I'm surprised.
That embrace was Almost bizarre, Ira. Almost bizarre. And I was watching Goodell at times. I was hoping to ask him one question, but anyway.
But he was buried in conversation.
I saw him at different times during the night. He didn't embrace anybody else, even women coming over.
Yeah.
Ira, he gets a hug.
I got feminine qualities, Steve. You saw me in full schmooze action on Monday night. What was it like to witness this, Stevie?
Oh, now you're going to interview me on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
You saw me unleashed. That's just my environment.
Yeah, this was, I think, only my second owner's meeting where you haven't had your wife with you.
Oh.
So, not that
now,
she...
Now, wait a minute. You and I were together in Phoenix. That's right.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct. But there's been other times where your wife's been there, and not that she has you on a leash, but, you know, you got to be a little respectable.
Yes. Got to make sure she's got her drinks and food and everything.
And you're not double-fisting the pastries and all those sorts of things. And we do have video evidence of that. That I have pictures of, Ira. But bottom line is, Ira, just work in the place, you know, and we did get our...
Shouldn't you be asking me at this point for my permission to take some of these photos, Isbits? I never know when you're sneaking up on me. I could be grabbing a pastry. It always puts me in some kind of crazy light when you do it.
No, you can't stop me, Ira, but you can reject any photo. I will always put it past you. So, Sage, look, here, we're here at the owners' meetings, and it's a chance to talk to a lot of people. And a couple of things that I think are important. Logan Ryan, you were talking to Mike Vrabel about Logan Ryan. I thought he said something very interesting. Look, Vrabel's an intense guy, a defensive player. People know his background.
He said, I can't talk about him with the Giants. I mean, I understand that, you know.
But he did say, he said, look, Logan Ryan was one of the only guys that I would ever allow to question our game plan and our scheme and come to me and say, well, what are we doing here? He said, because I knew how passionate and dedicated he was to all the film study.
And football intelligence, Steve. Off the charts. Off the charts.
And he went into that with you, and I thought that was very interesting, very,
very
telling.
You also talked about his versatility. Didn't he talk about him as a blitzer, which is very interesting because you know those quotes are going to reach Todd Bowles, and, of course, Todd Bowles already knows about Ryan's versatility. And, look, the pass rush can use a little help, Stevie. If Ryan's adept at it, he could be unleashed by Bowles in that regard.
Now, we are here right now at the Breakers Resort, still here at the owners' meetings. And, you know, in classic Sage fashion, here we are. We sit down in the courtyard here, and we see new Jets head coach Robert Saleh sitting there. He's sitting by himself.
And I said, what'd you do? Chase all the media away. You know, that's my opening line, Steve. You got to loosen these guys
up. Well, we did spend some solo time with him, but the best part, Ira, is that within 1 minute, you called him Bob four times. You don't even know the guy.
I did, Steve.
But he gave us the bottom line on Jordan Whitehead. They knew in New York, and I had heard this last night from other people, they knew the Bucs couldn't afford him, that he was that valuable, and the Bucs had other priorities, and that's what happened.
Didn't mean the Bucs had turned on him. Didn't mean the Bucs didn't want to keep him. Somebody had to get cut loose.
And that was one thing that I threw past Team Glazer, Joel Glazer, last night. Hey, Jason Light just had three draft picks from 2018, good players, walk away.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's
for
interesting.
Big money in Kappa and Whitehead, and Ronald Jones got a good paycheck from
when
the Chiefs.
When have we ever talked about a Buck draft class?
Never. Never. And we still kept two of those guys, of course, which is Vita Vea and Carlton Davis for massive money. Bottom line, Ira, that says a lot. And what did you think of Joel Glazer's response there, where he basically said Jason Light's the greatest thing...
He gave you one hell of a quote about Jason Light. What's lost a little bit, Steve, in the last couple of years is the resurrection of Jason Light in certain respects. I mean, let's face it. When 2019 ended, especially 2018, when there was a coaching change at the end of 2018, Jason Light, you know, I don't want to say he was hanging by a thread, but his job was precarious. Steve, it was. The 2016 draft was not that far away, which was a disaster. Jameis Winston, at that point, you'd say, well, it didn't work out with Winston. Not a bust, but it didn't work out. He's not going to get a second contract with the Bucs. And the guy was the first pick in the draft. So, Steve, you know, you could say that the arrival of Brady triggered everything and the upheaval. But, Steve, Jason Light's drafted much, much better. He has. Part of it might be the coaching staff is better at implementing this rookie class and getting the most out of their talent. But Joel Glazer talking about Jason Light, he didn't need much prompting from you, Steve, to talk about Light's accolades.
No, and I think even more telling was you and I were sitting with a major executive of a top NFC team yesterday afternoon. Now, it was not John Lynch. It was not Rich McKay. And that executive, I don't even think there was even any prompting. He was talking about how well-run Jason Light's operation is on the football side. And it was very telling. Again, this is a major executive from a top team.
A rival. A rival, yeah.
Yeah, somebody you, yeah, absolutely, a rival. And just waxing on and on about the growth of the organization and how well-run it is today from top to bottom.
Absolutely. And, Steve, it goes to back up what I said a few weeks ago in terms of Tom Brady and where he wants to go and what his ambitions are. To a certain degree, Steve, to a certain degree, and I think it's true. Why would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave Tampa? Besides the personnel, you've got tremendous clout. Now, let's clear up one thing right here, Steve. Tom Brady's not the general manager of this football team, and nobody should think that way. That's crazy talk. But if Jason Light and his staff and Spytek and the scouts are zeroing in on a free agent or something, it doesn't initiate with Tom Brady. It doesn't have to initiate. But at the end, you run it past Brady. You don't surprise him, Steve. That's smart football. That's being a smart executive. So the way this organization is run right now from top to bottom, I just think if I'm Tom Brady, why would I want to go somewhere else?
Well, the prevailing thoughts that we got and from everywhere, hard statements, is that all this talk of Brady to the 49ers and Brady to the Dolphins and Brady this and Brady that and all the national stuff we see and have heard over the last month or so is just complete BS.
Doesn't mean the Dolphins weren't interested in Tom Brady.
No, everybody's interested in Tom Brady. But essentially that the steps that a lot of people think have happened and back-channel stuff, it's just meaningless to the Bucs organization because it's not going to change anything that they're going to do. And also, it's not real. And as we were told, Ira, from other people, hey, there's fantasy football going on in the highest reaches of every front office, what you can pull off, what you can't. Be it coaches, look at all the chatter about Sean Payton.
That was a big part of the Dolphin chatter, that Peyton was going to be a package deal in Miami and they were going to get Brady. Well, it never happened.
And there's the speculation about him with the Cowboys, too, more fantasy football stuff. But did you get any sense that any of that was real with Brady?
Not really from Brady's standpoint, Steve. I to think that Stephen Ross wanted Tom Brady, I don't think that's big news. Who wouldn't? Stephen Ross wants to win. The Dolphins are mired in kind of mediocrity. You know, they're 9-8, 8-9, 9-8. They get a medium draft pick, and they're spinning their wheels. They don't know about Tua at this point. They will by the end of this season. They'll know a lot about Tua. They just went out and got him the best deep target in football. And Waddle's a good player, too. So a lot of pressure on him. But, Steve, the key is, what did Brady want? And I haven't gotten anything from Glazer or Jason Light to suggest, Steve, that Brady was in any way dissatisfied with being in the Buck organization. And, Steve, let me throw one more point in. And it was your question that prompted it. And we're talking about speculation, rampant speculation. Of course, Steve, it's not even worth mentioning this clown. I don't even know this guy, but I'm calling him a clown. I used to work at WEEI. Steve, can you imagine? You're still suggesting here in late March that Brady might bolt to the Dolphins. I mean, don't put that report out. You look like a moron. You look like a moron. And everybody we talked to said, that can't happen. That can't. Let's put that to bed. But, Steve, another example of the crazy speculation. Brady met with Ronaldo after the Manchester United game, and he had to have a talk with the Glazers, and maybe that put him over the top that he was coming back. Steve, talk about your question and your answer.
Well,
with that regard.
Look, I had a very strong feeling, and
everybody just assumed that Brady talked to the Glazers.
And had checked it out as best I could, and there was really no reason to believe with any degree of certainty that Tom Brady had actually met with the Glazers in England on that big trip. Yes, he was sitting in the owner's box, but the owner's box there is not an indoor suite. You know, bottom line is there were no pictures, there was no English tabloid chatter, and Glazer himself...
We got to the bottom of it.
...said no, I didn't meet with him, didn't see him there. Which, is very telling because we saw so many reports of, oh, the big meeting with the Glazers.
And the trip had been planned well in advance.
Right. And, of course, we had heard, you know, people talking about, oh, you know, Brady had, his demands and he needed to hash it out finally with the Glazers. Joel Glazer, nothing of the sort. And he was a little, I don't want to say annoyed by the question, but he basically broke down and said, no, I didn't see him. You know, he was a little frustrated by the question.
Steve, the one part that I don't think is crazy to assume is that when Brady was talking to Ronaldo, and there's that famous video, and I think Ronaldo asked him, you're done, right? And then Brady made that face, that grimace. I don't think it's far-fetched to assume at that very moment Brady knew he was coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He just wanted to make sure, hey, this time I'm going to announce
on his schedule,
on my terms.
That's right.
Whether I'm retiring, unretiring, whatever.
Steve, I want to talk about, first of all, it's been a tremendous 3 days here at the Breakers. And Steve, I know you'll agree, being around a resort like this, and there aren't many like it. It really puts you and I in our place. You know, financially, we got plans for the future. But when you cross that bridge from West Palm to Palm Beach, everything changes in this town. I mean, it's just like that. Talk about opulent. I won't say garish, but it's a hell of a resort. And the owners are not going to go to the Ramada. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we have no business in this 5-star resort. Funny thing is, Ira, Jason Light just walked by us.
Yes, he did.
And
I thought you were going to invite him to the podcast.
I bugged him enough yesterday where I think he had to go somewhere because he didn't stay in this area here.
He just wanted to get a cup of coffee.
There are plenty of meetings going on around us, but so I thought that was kind of funny.
Here's the point I want to make about this 3-day trip, which was incredibly productive. Because you get to see people that you don't normally get to interface with. You saw me with Tomlin, treating me like a long-lost brother over there.
I swear, Ira, Mike, if you went up to Mike Tomlin and said, Mike, I'm having some hard times. Could I get $10,000 from
you? He'd start peeling off bills.
He'd just give it to you. The guy loves you, and he's saying things to you last night that if you happen to talk about them on this podcast or put them in print, it would cost Mike Tomlin, it would be a knock on his career in some ways.
And he knows that.
And he knows that. And I was just kind of amazed that he trusted me enough to say it wasn't there, which was pretty cool.
So, Steve, here's my main takeaway, especially this morning with the NFC coaches. And, of course, Coach Arians wasn't here. Hope he's doing well back in Tampa. We'll see him soon enough at $1. Steve, my takeaway is, and of course, I went to the NFC South coaches, starting with Arthur Smith. Steve, it seems to me everybody's kind of resigned to, battle for second place in a division. I mean, that's just the way it is. The Bucs have Tom Brady. I got Mariota. I got Winston. I got Darnold or whatever. Basically, we can't compete, and like Arthur Smith's like looking at 2023. I mean, this is like the Bucs, 10 years ago. Everybody's fighting for second place, and Tampa's got the talent.
Well, the Saints don't view it that way. I did talk to Dennis Allen, but Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, what'd you get from him on Russell Gage? What were his comments?
First of all, he said you're going to love covering this guy. He's a total professional. I think he's got a vibrant personality. And then he talked about him as a player, versatile, reliable, makes all the catches. He thinks he's really going to help the Bucs, and Brady will bring out the best in him, as he always does. Steven, Brady's done it with guys that aren't as talented as Russell Gage, and made them household names in New England. When Brady's not throwing to them at some point, you never heard of the guy again. Russell Gage is better than those guys.
And we were talking to Matt Rhule, and I thought it was interesting. Matt Rhule was basically let his guard down a little bit or just didn't care, however you want to look at it, but basically just saying, hey, I'm a huge Tom Brady fan,
yeah,
and he is great for the game, and yeah, I'm in the same division. But
yeah, I got a plan for him twice a year.
I root for the guy. I love the guy. He's great to watch. He makes everybody better in the division. I thought it was very telling, a very good tribute, especially when you contrast it with when I was talking to Dennis Allen of the slimy, hated Saints.
Now, they got a defense, Steve. They play good defense.
He said Brady's probably the best quarterback ever. And he was basically saying, well, we stop them because we have the players and it's not complicated. We don't do anything different against the Bucs.
He was
very much illustrating the reason that Bucs fans hate the Saints and just want to punch them in the mouth. He even said the Falcons are the top rival for the Saints.
Steve, I'll say this about Dennis Allen. First of all, he deserves this shot because he's a marvelous defensive coordinator. And the pieces change in New Orleans, and he always play good defense. But Steve, he's got the evidence to back him up in terms of vis-a-vis the Bucs. I mean, with all due respect to that playoff game on the way to the Buc championship, the Saints have their number. I mean, there's no way around it. Quite a few times, not only do they beat the Bucs, but they embarrass them. And they seem to have a handle on Brady.
You got to
give Allen his respect.
I really hope that's opening day, Ira. Bucs, Saints, get it out of the way. Let's put it all on the table. That would be my first choice for opening day. Of course, we don't get any insight into the schedule because, you know, the schedule makers don't even know with that.
They've done a job on the Bucs at Raymond James, too. I mean, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen it, and it's painful to think about. But he did say Jameis Winston. He really emphasized third year in the system for Jameis. You know, of course, they kept their offensive coordinator.
Now, you got the injury concern.
I was a little bit surprised that he actually went there, Dennis Allen, saying that, hey, I think we're going to have much more of a deep threat than we've had in many years. Not really a knock on Drew Brees, but sort of, hey, this guy throws a better deep ball.
But their receiver corps is kind of in flux,
yeah.
Steve. I'm not sure what's going on with Michael Thomas, who 2 years ago you and I were walking around saying this guy's the best receiver in football. The Bucs got no answers for Michael Thomas. And now he's an afterthought. He's a question mark. Sometimes that happens with these receivers. I think the fame got to him. Steve, how many times can we talk about the luxury from a personality standpoint of having guys like Godwin and Evans? I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, it's incredible. And I was talking to Jason Light about this, and I asked some other folks around the league. I believe right now, and it could be wrong, but I believe right now, no other team has ever paid three wide receivers more than $10 million a year, $10 million or more a year, which is what the Bucs are doing right now. It's really unprecedented, and they have the depth of Perriman and, you know, all the guys down the line, which is just crazy, really, if you think
about
it. But,
Steve, having said that, you know that in relative terms, Mike Evans is a bargain. He just saw what Tyreek Hill's getting.
Absolutely a bargain. I mean, he may not have commanded that much, but he could make a lot more money. But it's a gift that he's given this organization to be so flexible and so generous. Sage, Jason Light spoke on the record yesterday. You watched him. You listened to him. I know you talked to him in the hallway on Sunday, harassing him right out of the gate. What do we need to know from what he was saying?
My takeaway, Steve, without him saying it, is I think they feel Sue's coming back. I think they feel they'll reach an accommodation with Sue. They're talking to his representatives. Steve, you said it before. Sue's a different animal. He doesn't mind signing in May. He looks around. And, Steve, unless there's a big gap between what the Bucs can legitimately offer Sue and what a rival suitor money is going to be thrown Sue's direction, I think they need him, Steve. I think he's a big part of the puzzle. You don't necessarily agree with me. The guy never misses a game, and to me that adds value to Ndamukong Suh.
Anything else?
Well, I just think
from Light?
I just think Light's on cloud nine with this Brady thing. They had been talking to Brady. I don't think it was an utter surprise to ownership or Light or his brain trust that Brady was going to end his retirement.
Oh, yeah, a fleeting thought popped into my head, and I know that you probably were not going to give the response, of course. But when you said to Joel Glazer last night, you and I had him cornered for a long time, you said to him, hey, Joel, come on. What happened when you and the brothers, the family got around?
I did. Said, the four-way, Zoom call.
Zoom call.
And I mentioned the brothers by name, right?
You mentioned all the brothers, and you say, what was it like when you guys were talking, saying Blaine Gabbert might be starting for this team?
He didn't know what the hell to say. But he smiled.
He gave us an answer, too. I mean, look, Blaine Gabbert was not going to be the starting quarterback for this team. And
I still think he's coming back to the Bucs. Steve, do you?
Well, if he wants to play football,
I mean,
it looks like that's going to be the case.
Nobody's after Blaine Gabbert, right? I mean,
no, nobody's after Blaine Gabbert. Certainly not to be a starter, and certainly not.
And Bruce Arians is still the coach of this team. He hasn't changed the way he feels about Gabbert.
No, and Bruce still has the same pull. He wants Gabbert. Like you said, nothing's changed the way he feels, and I think it's just going to be that simple. But
can we put the Baker Mayfield thing to rest, Steve?
It should be put to rest, but as Lee's written at JoeBucksFan.com, if Mayfield does get cut and he's sitting there, I don't know why they wouldn't talk to him. I mean, look at Logan Ryan. The Bucs are paying him a shade over $1 million this year. The Giants
That's shameful. That's shameful.
Giants are eating like $5.5 million of his contract, and he wants to be here.
$1 million for a starting safety?
Yeah.
Starting safety.
Yeah. That fell into their lap very well, and he wanted to be here a couple of years ago, but if Mayfield, and we don't know Mayfield, we're not going to pretend to know Mayfield, but if he does get cut and if he doesn't have a starting option anywhere else and feels like, well, if I can't start, maybe I should sit behind Tom Brady.
Maybe Brady will only play one more year in Tampa.
What do I have to lose? And as crazy as it sounds in that scenario, it worked for Jameis to go sit behind Breeze and be a good guy and wait for an opportunity for the guy to retire, and he got his shot.
Well, in some ways, Mayfield has to rehab his reputation, right, Steve? Just like Winston, yeah.
Absolutely, in a different kind of way, but hey, I don't think the Bucs would turn their nose if that opportunity became available on the super cheap.
Steve, one interesting thing, and you were trying to get to the bottom of it, and I salute you, and I'm not sure you got the answers that you really wanted. Nothing definitive. Steve, this thing about Brady and his contract with the Bucs and 2023, what's going on? We can't nail a light down on this. He's very vague on it. Certainly, Steve, I think they would want to extend him beyond this season, but it hasn't happened, Steve, and I'm not sure it's going to happen.
It's very strange in my mind that Light, Glazer, they're not saying we want to make Tom Brady a Buccaneer for life.
Why wouldn't you say that?
Now, maybe it's understood, and it probably is understood, but when you're asked a simple question of, hey, are you doing everything you can to lock him up for 2023 and beyond? Should fans expect that you're doing that? And he just kind of laughed and said, oh, I'm just so happy he's here. And
we have him this fall.
Yeah. Now, I get it that they don't want to put pressure on Tom Brady through the media. I would be so surprised, Ira, if they didn't already tell him, being Brady, hey, whatever you want, we're going to give it to you.
Maybe Brady wants to keep his options open, Steve.
Maybe he wants those options open. I can't blame him there. The Bucs do have the franchise tag that they could always slap on Brady, which there's never been a report that that's in his contract that he can't be franchised.
I don't see that scenario, Steve. I can't see it. It wouldn't look very good, and I don't think it wouldn't make Brady feel very good either.
Well, just because you put the tag on a guy doesn't mean he has to play for that contract. You're just holding his rights. It would feel messy if it got to that, but you could also tag a guy and trade him with the tag. So I don't know. It's very strange.
You know, Steve, as we're sitting here, and we love to piss on the Brady Dolphin rumors and anything like that and the 49ers, Steve, this one feels a little different to me. I'm not sure Brady wants to get locked in for 2023 at this point. I don't know that.
I don't think he does, but we just don't know.
Enjoy him while you have him, right, Steve?
Yeah, and that was the prevailing message, but it is a little strange why they just don't want to say, hey, if Tom's got a contract, as long as he wants to stay. Jason Light's the same guy, Ira, who was saying, oh, Brady might play till he's 50. This was, what, 6 months ago. So they've changed the tone a little bit.
We asked about Gronkowski, Steve.
Well, I talked to Drew Rosenhaus about Gronk, and
The
Bucs want him. There is a check for Gronk waiting. They'll make the room that they have to make. That was very clear.
They will accommodate him, yes.
But Rosenhaus is very clear also that, hey, I pushed him a lot on it, even after I was leaning on him. He started laughing. But he was very clear that, no, they have not negotiated terms or come to a number, and they haven't gotten there.
But if he's not here, it's not because the Bucs didn't make every effort.
He said neither side is even interested in doing that until Gronk says, I want to play.
Yeah.
What that means, who knows for sure, Ira. Look, Sage, other prevailing opinions that you had from Glazer chatting for 8 minutes with the media. Thank you, Mr. Glazer. 8 minutes in a year. Come on. What is it?
But we got a little time with them. We did.
No, I'm just needling a little bit the public stuff. It was short. It was sweet. Any other feedback that you feel the fans need to know the Sage's wisdom?
Joel talked a little bit in front of the cameras about what it's like as an owner going for it, Steve. Balls out, all in. That wasn't the case here 6-7 years ago. Buck fans know that. It was all about who we're going to draft, by the time October, November rolled around. It's not like that anymore. Now it's all about right now. What's going to happen in the 2022 season? Now they're going to get 5 night games. The schedule's more challenging, Steve. But I think the Glazers, as a family, I think they're reveling. They're reveling in the moment. They're relevant. They're more than relevant, Steve. They're the focal point in some ways of the National Football League. With all due respect to McVay's Rams as the defending champ. Steve, the Bucs are now favored to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They were 33-1 underdogs. Now, not the biggest shot on the board,
sure.
But 33-1 to win the NFC title in early March. And now they're like 7 or 8 to 1. And the number one that's the best odds in the NFC. Everything changed that day, Steve.
So, Ira, look, I saw you in Avi Glazer's grill last night.
Yes, I was.
For a good 20 minutes. And anything you could share there, Ira?
Well, we talked the other side of football because, Steve, you know, I got to admit it. I didn't know much about the Premier League. And then when the Glazers moved in on Manchester United, I started getting interested. And their games are on TV all the time. And so I got to know the players, coaches, and they've had a revolving door at coaches. That sound a little familiar for the Bucks from 2009 to 2019, Steve? A little familiar, that coaching carousel? So we talked Manchester United and what the fan base is like. And Avi's point was interesting in this respect, and I didn't know this, Steve. They're big rivals, Man City. So you got Man United and Man City. Man City is like number one in the league. They've had a fantastic run. Most talented team in the league. Yet, Avi made a strong point to me that I likened it to the Yankees and the Mets. No matter what the Mets do, they're always in the Yankees' shadow. They're always in, you know, the back page of those New York tabloids. They're going to tilt towards the Yankees, no matter what, if they're good or they're bad. Manchester United's not bad. They're just not in Man City's class. But Avi was saying the intense scrutiny from a media standpoint on Manchester United is incredible. We have no idea. He said it's not even comparable to what the Bucks go through, you know, here. Everything Man United does is scrutinized. They got 7 or 8 papers, Steve, that cover these teams.
Oh, yeah. No, it's different.
And Man United, whether it's tradition, they are the focal point. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, I know he gave you details on that perspective as it relates to the Bucks, and
of course he's thrilled with the Tom Brady stuff. Thrilled.
Yeah, the obvious bounce in everybody's step there with the organization and that family, and how could they not? Sage, you got here. What did you drive here to the NFL owners' meetings, Ira? Come on, tell everybody what you drove.
Well, I drove my car because my wife wouldn't let me take the beautiful Ford Escape from BillCurryFord.com. She wouldn't let me get out of the driveway with us. She wasn't going to be without that vehicle for 3 days. Not a chance.
That's sinful, Ira. You drove that ratty old vehicle across the state, risking life and limb.
Yeehaw Junction. And now I got to take it back, Steve.
And your wife is home with the 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape from Curry Ford.
Which we're now off the lease, and we purchased it.
You own it, absolutely. And GM Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, he's ready to take your vehicle order. No deposit. And he's going to give you a bonus, and he's going to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. Fantastic.
Go to walk in that showroom. You ask for Sean Sullivan. You'll get Sean Sullivan. That doesn't happen at other dealerships, Steve. It just doesn't.
No, he is so eager to talk Bucks with you, talk NFL draft, or just do whatever you need. And that could be body work, service, anything. BillCurryFord.com, that's where you start.
And they got a lot of capital improvements going on over there at Bill Curry Ford.
Oh, yeah. The new showroom opens next month. And then, of course, the massive overhaul of the giant, as they call it, is coming next year. Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan's ready for you. He's waiting for you. Bill Curry Ford.
1 mile north of the stadium.
.com. Yeah. You going to give people a ride now, Ira? You give them directions? What is this?
Steve, what was it like? And I don't want to use the word shadowing me, Steve, shadow. But every time I turned my shoulder, you were off my right shoulder. And I respect that. What's it been like following me around, Steve?
Well, Sage, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, too. But, yeah,
tell Sean McVay story.
I try to keep tabs on you.
I'll let you tell it.
The Sean McVay story, so NFC coaches press conference / breakfast scene.
Very end.
Each coach sort of has an area where they take questions from the media. And Sean McVay, obviously, Rams just won the Super Bowl. Very popular. A lot of questions. A lot of media all around him. Lights. A lot of distractions. And he's answering questions, doing his thing. And Ira asks him a question. And McVay answers it by starting by saying, "Well, Ira, now
I was stunned. I was stunned. It's not like I talked to this guy every
When's the
year.
Last time you talked to the guy?
7, 8 years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable. Does he have that kind of memory, or do I have that kind of voice, Steve?
It wasn't like you were up his ass.
He was in
every
Gruden's
day.
Workshop. Yeah, you know.
And he's
just like Nathaniel Hackett was another guy, Steve, in Gruden's workshop. And now they're head coaches.
It's crazy, but it goes back to, and it's not even that many years ago, it's just a style of the way the media used to get to interact at training camp with these coaches and be able to just talk to them without
approval. He wasn't even a
approval.
Position coach,
yeah.
Right, Steve?
Quality control guy.
Quality control, yeah.
But
I guess I leave that kind of impression on people, Stevie.
Well, one story I have to tell, because we need to continue to stroke the Sage's ego. I witnessed an eyewitness, because you still have your bashers out there, Ira, with your Hall of Fame and your Rondé Barber, the nonsense that goes on. I witnessed firsthand a Hall of Fame voter, prominent guy, come up to you.
Unnamed.
Unnamed.
Yeah.
Guy's been on the committee how many years?
Ten.
He came up to you and said, Ira, could you please help me
with player X?
Player X in my presentation. I need to put together a better pitch, blah, blah, blah. And you said, call me.
Yep.
And we'll get together. And he said something else. And then you left. He was very happy about that. So that's how people look to you. Walking around here, hanging out with John Lynch and others, did you get any different, a new temperature on Rondé Barber in the room for next year as an early look?
I had a conversation. Shereen Williams and I had John Lynch at the party. Had him up against the wall, Steve, talking to him for about 10 minutes. I asked him a couple of Brady questions, and I said,
Wait a minute. First, was there a reason why you were hanging out with his wife at the pool earlier in the day?
She just happened to cross my path, Steve. I didn't arrange some kind of liaison.
Got it.
But I know Linda Lynch, and I got a lot of respect for her, Steve, and I'll tell you why. Because in year four or year five, and her husband's still trying to get into the halls of Canton, she could have turned on me. But I would see her every year. She could have shunned me. Like, hey, let's get somebody else making this presentation. You're not getting the job done. I never got that feeling. Certainly, I didn't get it from John, and I didn't get it from Linda. That meant a lot to me. Kept me going. And so a couple of things about my Lynch conversation. I asked him about Brady from a couple of years ago with the 49ers. I said, why didn't you seal the deal? Why didn't you seal the deal at that time? This is before Brady joined the Bucs. And Lynch had previously shown interest in Brady and had talked to Belichick about a trade. And Steve, at that time, and I thought it was interesting, Lynch said, we had come within 6 minutes of winning the Super Bowl. We were 6 minutes away from being NFL champions with what we had. Brady was 43, 42. That was the kind of conversations that were going on in the front offices of 49ers. Do we really want to do this? They didn't know that Brady would be as productive as he has been the last 2 years. How could they know that? His last year in New England wasn't bad, Steve, but it didn't end well. He didn't look very good at the end of that season. In that playoff game, he didn't play particularly well.
Well, it certainly wasn't what he showed on the field in Tampa.
That's right. And he's right. They were 6 minutes away from hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy against the Chiefs. They had outplayed the Chiefs with Garoppolo. Garoppolo didn't play a bad game, Steve. And it was the defense that let the 49ers down. Ultimately, Steve, Mahomes made some plays. You can't really pin that on Garoppolo. So I thought that was interesting. Now, from a Hall of Fame perspective, we talked about Rondé. I know I can count on Lynch for lending a helping hand, which is nice because he's got a lot of clout. He knows who the voters are. He's going to try to, you know, him, and I got Brooks, I got Dungy. These are powerful people that are in Rondé's corner. It's going
to
help.
Sure. And to be fair, whoever else is on that ballot has other powerful people in their organization in their corner. So it's not like you're pulling a fast one. Everybody does this. You're just, it's about the coordination of getting
Here's
that done.
Here's one of the interesting things. There's Rich McKay again wandering around, Steve. He's always in motion. The man, I've never seen a man in motion like this. But anyway, Rich, take a seat. Stop wandering around over there.
Relax over the week, please.
Let's continue this Falcons podcast over here, but no, I'm kidding. So, Steve, and people need to know this about the Hall of Fame. I put my hand on Lynch's shoulder, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I said, has it made a difference that you have this gold jacket? Has it really made that much of a difference? He goes, Ira, for those 5, 6, 7 years, I always said, I don't know, my place in my career is secure. I did what I did. I'm very comfortable with the kind of player I was. I don't need any more affirmation. But he said, Ira, I got to tell you, from the moment I got that knock on the door from David Baker, which is a great video in that San Diego suburb, it was a game changer. And for example, he said he was sitting with Ozzie Newsome, who's here, at a table this weekend, and Newsome turned to him, and they didn't have their gold jackets on, and said, hey, John, how's it feel to be part of our fraternity? You know, it was a great moment for Lynch. And here's the bigger point, Steve, that Buck fans have to realize. Nobody goes up to John Lynch and say, these Hall of Famers, hey, how you doing, 8th-year Hall of Famer, 8 years? No, nobody cares. You're in the club. That's what matters, Steve. Nobody cares. Nobody cares how long it took.
Absolutely, no. It's true. I do have pictures of you with Lynch. I got a funny one. I'll run it by you, though, first.
You also have me and Tomlin, right? You have me and Tomlin
from
last night.
I got a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures, Ira. But and I lost track of you for a while, too. But so who knows what you were up to at that point. Probably.
How about when Tomlin stayed?
As soon as I arrived, because I arrived after you, Ira. You know what you said? First thing you said to me was, I already hit the buffet hard. That's the first thing you said.
And then you told me where the dessert table was. That was beautiful, Steve. And you were standing right there. I thought it was a great moment from Tomlin. How about when I said, Steve, like, Mike, I think one of your great qualities is you won't let a season fall apart. You won't let a season go to hell. And by that, Steve, he's been the coach, I think, since 08.
Yep.
Now maybe 07. Might be 07. Because they won it in 08. The 08 Steelers, he didn't win it his first year. So I think he came in 07. And 06, I think he was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings. He had left the Bucs at that time. Of course, the Bucs promptly went 4-12. So I said, you abandoned the Bucs, and they went 4-12. He left. So, Steve, when I said you won't let a season go to hell, he's never had a losing season, Steve. So he looked at me, and I go, you're not going to go 5-12. You will not let that happen to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, Steve, he looked at me, and he goes, Ira, forget about the season going to hell. I'm trying to win a championship. That's all that's on my focus. I'm trying to win a freaking championship. So I said, well, how about going 13-4 once in a while? And Steve, he looks at me and he goes, 2 years ago we won 13 games, Ira. What are you talking about? I mean, he was right there, Steve. What I meant was they really haven't contended for the Super Bowl as Roethlisberger's career wound down. They really haven't been a much of a factor.
Yeah, he was talking to you about the difference between competing and winning and let's just say you cleaned up the language incredibly.
He doesn't want to hear any excuses about Roethlisberger. He doesn't believe in any of that
stuff. It
was
a lot of fun to get into his mentality there. You could probably write a great book, just call it Tomlin. He'd probably let you do it, too, Ira.
I love that aggressiveness about him. He's not looking for excuses. He's got a new challenge, and he's ready to embrace it.
He's interesting because he's aggressive at all times. Very interesting guy to spend some time around. I know you asked him earlier in the day on the record about John Gruden. And a pathway for maybe Gruden to get back into the Ring of Honor or into good graces in the league. He wouldn't talk about it.
No, he wouldn't.
A lot of people here won't say the name John Gruden. I just look at it, Ira, as a lot of guys get a second chance in the NFL, third chance for whatever reason. It doesn't matter exactly what the reason is, and I'm not lobbying for Gruden here, but it feels like the door that was slammed on him, it's got an extra few locks on it.
You're not wrong, Steve. To say that he could be back in this league in any capacity, it's a huge stretch. It's not going to happen, Steve. I think he understands that. He's got a lawsuit going on now. That's not going to help him go back in the league if that's his intention. He's done, and in a certain sense, I think it's a shame. You know, Steve, look, I'll just speak for myself. I'm not going to defend in any manner the language. It's indefensible, and I don't care who he was sending the text to. But, Steve, I was around this guy starting in 2002. Covered him for 7 years. Spent a lot of time with him. Spent a lot of private time with him in his office. Even after he got out of the Bucs and was a broadcaster. Spent a lot of time with him. Know his family. That's not the John Gruden. I know, Steve. It's just not. And talking to some people here at Palm Beach that are close to Gruden, they agree with me. They were shocked by the language that was used. But let's not go overboard. He's not a monster, Steve. He's just not a monster.
Sage, as far as the Bucs on the field, I want to throw one nugget at you that we even haven't discussed previously. I was talking to the Bengals head coach about Alex Kappa, and he really dove into a lot about how you could see the chemistry on the field that Kappa sort of had, he was leading chemistry within that offensive line. He said they could see that on the field, the great chemistry, but a lot of it coming from Kappa himself. And they talked about him finishing blocks. I also talked to a lot of people about comparing Kappa and Mason, Shaq Mason coming in from the Patriots. I asked Jason Light about that. Simple question, hey, is Mason an upgrade? He wouldn't go there. He wouldn't talk about it. Wouldn't say yes, no, or he wouldn't even say, well, we expect him to be. Didn't want to compare players. Very classy thing by Jason Light there. But the prevailing sentiment I got from other folks in the league is, hey, Shaq Mason's better than Alex Kappa.
I don't think that's going out on a limb, and that's no knock on Kappa. Solid player. Steve, I think it's a big stretch to suggest that Kappa set the tone for the guys in front of Brady. I think that's Jensen. I think that's Jensen's trait, and he should be credited for it in terms of the aggressive nature. But Kappa was solid. I talked to a guy that covers the Patriots on a regular basis and has over the years. Asked him about Mason. Great locker room guy. Solid player. I said, best years behind him? No. Kind of in his prime. He's 28, right, Steve? He's 28.
He turns 29 soon.
Yeah. He's not Mankins, who's going to play one, maybe 2 years with the Bucs once they got him. And by the way, Mankins contributed to the Bucs. He was not a bad player.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler in his final season, and he could have kept going, for sure.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say Mason, even though he's going to play the right side. I'm not going as far as say he's an upgrade on Marpet. And we really don't talk about Marpet's absence very much on this podcast. Stinney's ready to move into that left guard role. Well, how much do we know about Stinney? We've seen him on a short basis, Steve. I'm not ready to say this guy's going to be a Pro Bowler over here. I mean, I got some questions about Aaron Stinney. I think they're legit.
Jason Lyde sort of hinted that, and I didn't really take it that seriously when he said when he said Robert Hainsey will compete at left guard. I think all you need to know about Stinney, unless he has a really bad agent, is when he was a Super Bowl starter and started 3 playoff games and performed very well, he couldn't get a starting job. And he came back to the Bucs for pennies. And this year he came back for $2.5 million, which is a raise, but not a lot of money. So the league doesn't see it on film yet, and hopefully the Bucs are the beneficiaries of that, but we don't know. A 17-game season and Aaron Stinney, hopefully a 21-game season, we have no idea.
They are replacing 2 starters on the offensive line at the guard position, Steve. Say what you want about Shaq Mason, about Aaron Stinney. It hurts the continuity, and that's been a big factor in the ascension of the Buck offensive line into one of the better units in the league, is the fact that these 5 guys have been together. Injuries have not been a major factor up front. They have not. A guy might miss a game or two, but you know, you look at other teams and the guy's out for 9 weeks. That hasn't happened here in Tampa. So Steve, what I'm saying is I'm not apprehensive about the guys up front necessarily, but any drop back at all in performance in front of Brady, that scares me.
It would scare any Bucs fan, Ira. Last thing on the O-line, I was talking to some folks about Ryan Jensen, and independently, they both referenced his extreme improvement, basically saying that he got a lot better in Tampa. And that speaks to what we're hoping for with this Bucs line this year, because it gets lost a little bit that the coaching by Joe Gilbert and Harold Goodwin.
Big factor coaching.
Very rare to have 2 legit, highly experienced offensive linemen sharing coaching of one line. And on top of that, Tristan Wirfs should get better. Stinney should have marked improvement. You know, maybe Mason in a different environment, learning some new tricks a little bit.
Hey, Donovan Smith got better under this coaching staff.
He got better. They all got better. So maybe they can all continue to get better, which I bet you that's part of the Brady rationale as well.
And speaking of continuity, Steve, for the most part, 90%, the Bucs have continuity in the coaching ranks. And that's invaluable. Including both coordinators.
All right, Ira, look, we're going to hit the stop button here on our
I'm ready for you. I got Yeehaw Junction in my front mirror, baby.
You got Yeehaw Junction. You need another vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, Ira. This is unacceptable.
Should I grab another crawler, Steve, before I hit the road?
Well, behind you, they just reloaded something over there. But I know you will. I know you will, Ira. But I have to say, as far as your eating goes, I know you're on your diet. I think you did pretty well.
I'm giving myself a B-minus.
I'm giving you a solid B-minus. A little issue at the dessert table, a little issue for breakfast, the tater.
Only a devil. You had that devilish look when you told me about the dessert table. You were really testing me.
Well, I'm not kidding, Ira. Your response was, it was like you said, take me to your leader.
And you said, there's Goodell, and I kept saying, where's the dessert table? Remember that, Steve?
Yeah.
You said, calm down, Ira,
I walked you a good quarter mile to that dessert table. What was it, a 17-piece band they had last night? That's how these billionaires roll. 17-piece
band. Did you post a picture of Matt Rhule dancing? Because somebody mentioned that to me this morning.
No.
And I thought it was you.
Listen, it's a private party. You can't just start taking random pictures and putting them on.
So what was the guy talking about?
On Twitter and video. You can't. I'm not going to take video of John Lynch drinking a cocktail with you and other things that you see here and just really everything. But I was chilling out near the band, and they had like a dance floor on the grass.
Were you on the dance floor?
No, I was not on the dance floor, but I was relaxing next to it. And Matt Rhule started dancing with his wife. And
man's entitled to dance with his wife.
Entitled to dance with his wife, but you didn't see any head coaches dancing like that at all that I could tell through the night. And it wasn't a big dance party, let's put it that way. But yeah, Matt Rhule was giving it his 110% on the dance floor for about 12 minutes.
Was Tomlin shaking it up out there?
No. Matt Rhule, he was drawing a lot of attention.
Did he have the moves? Did he look good?
He had a lot of confidence. He wasn't as bad as you might think. He's having a great time with his wife. If I had taken video of that, Ira, I guarantee you that would have exploded.
Well, somebody mentioned video of Matt Rhule to me this morning.
Yeah, I posted something about...
And they said something about Joe Buxton.
Yeah, no, I posted about that, but I didn't include any video, nor did I take any video.
It was
I tweeted the biggest surprise of the NFL owners' meetings party, Matt Rhule owning the dance floor.
No video.
So that went crazy viral.
Wrong with that, Steve.
People were asking for video. There's nothing wrong with me just saying Matt Rhule, great dancer. So
that's outstanding,
but
Steve.
Matt Rhule, of course, in Carolina has a lot of haters. And he's a bit of a he's not the fitness freak that Bob Saleh is. You know, he's a little sloppy. Right. But hey, people have to use their imagination.
But
I've been asked for the video already by multiple people.
Wow.
And I didn't take any video. It's not appropriate, but funny as hell.
Well, it was mentioned to me this morning, Steve. It was mentioned.
See, it even got to the stage.
And they said Joe Buxton.
Yeah.
So I thought he was talking about video. And I'm glad you cleared the air, Stevie.
Well, the band wasn't the centerpiece of the party. Not everybody was over there, but I was there at that time, and it was well worth it, Ira. Very well worth it.
I'm getting ready to wrap up these 3 days. They've been very productive, Steve. Had a lot of fun with you. Invaluable. This thing's invaluable.
Yeah, as far as for the people who listen to this podcast religiously, and thank you to the many thousands who do, and for those who hang on the sage's word and look for our insight to be able to corner so many NFL people and talk to them, even if it's for 4 minutes to get insight on certain things. And, you know, of course, you've got Glazer pinned down. I was expecting to see a chokehold. You were all
didn't
over.
He get a phone call from his family looking for
where
him?
Are you?
And, and he told him. Ira's got me pinned down. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't leave after that because we had him sandwiched in there.
His family's putting on an SOS for him.
That was classic. But yeah, thanks, Mr. Glazer. Gave us a lot of good info. And, of course, we can't sit here and share it, but it'll shape things that that fans need to know.
And we're hoping Coach Arians bounces back.
Hopefully he's whatever's going on is nothing by the time you listen to this. All right, Ira, look, drive safely in your Bill Curry Ford vehicle. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. I couldn't buy it here in Publix nearby, but you can buy it in Publix all over the Tampa Bay area.
Surprised they didn't have it at the party last night.
Not in Palm Beach. Not in Palm Beach. I don't know. Not acceptable. Not acceptable.
You'll talk to your people.
And, of course, as we heard earlier from Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira.
You're going to call Florida's Elite Restoration. It's the first phone call before your insurance company.
All right, Ira, get out of here. We'll see you later in the week.